Welcome. Let's look at the program, see who would I not want to follow. Well, any one of you. This is just so beautiful. What a magical, beautiful night this is. Merry Christmas. I'm so glad you're here. And I hope you're understanding what I'm saying, because understanding and communication is vital in our lives, in our world today. Communication matters.
Das hier ist mein Sektor.
Das hier ist das wichtigste Gerät des Küstenwächters.
Das Gerät und das Gerät.
Überlebensradar.
Mayday, Mayday. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you... Okay, over. We are sinking.
Hello? This is the German Coast Guard.
We're sinking.
What are you thinking about?
Okay, I don't know about you, but there are times that I struggle to understand some people. And I'm glad to see people from all generations here today. It makes me happy, brings me joy. But quite frankly, some of you in the younger persuasion, I have a hard time understanding, because your language is different than mine. I don't know about you, but there are times when I struggle to understand that kind of stuff. Ken Nash, just to let you know, for those of you who are visiting, we're in partnership with Cornerstone Church in Caledonia, and they have two other campuses, and we're a ministry partner of theirs. And I'm on a writing team that writes these messages every week. And Ken Nash is at the 84th Street campus, and he was talking to us the other day about how one of his kids told him that something he was doing was so sus. And Ken learned in waiting for him to finish the word. You know, he leaned in like, excuse me? Sustainable? Suspended in midair? He said it was short for suspicion. So Ken said, why the shortcut? What, you know, it took us longer time to understand what you said than just saying the word suspicion. But ever since then, he's been asking his kids to help him communicate better with their generation. If you want to hear a long list of words, I didn't use what he used, because he gave it, it's about a paragraph and a half of words. So if you want to go to Cornerstone's website, have a listen to that, and you will be amused, and the younger of you will go, yeah, what's the big deal? That's not a big thing. And I think it's a great thing to because we all need to learn to communicate better with people from every generation, right? So that being said, I want to make sure that you understand what I'm saying to you tonight. I want to make sure that my words are clear. Tonight we're communicating again the Christmas story. Ho-hum, heard it before, right? But I want you to look at it with a fresh set of eyes. No matter what stage of life you're in right now, I believe the story of Christmas matters to your life now, today. It matters to my life now, today. My hope tonight is to prove that to you. So let's start by imagining the wise men on that very first Christmas. By the way, there probably were more than three wise men. Likely, there were more than three wise men. The Bible says that they brought three gifts. And we know that when you get a bunch of men together, somebody's going to forget the gift, right? So they had three gifts, but it doesn't necessarily mean three guys. These magi were scientists, the scientists of the Orient. They were known for their ability to study the stars and as astronomers. It says that these men were from the east, which means they were from modern-day Iraq, possibly, or from Persia, or likely from China. That's why it's always amazed me that history has called Christianity a westernized religion, when in fact God started Christianity through the calling of the wise men from the far east to the through the star over Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. This leads me to a big question. Have you ever thought about what famous Christmas star, that famous Christmas star over the manger was? Many said it was a supernatural fire, like what Moses saw in the desert 1,400 years earlier. But what if it was a natural star? This is more significant than what we may realize. Listen to how the Bible describes the star. Herod summoned the Magi secretly and asked them the exact time when the star had appeared. Oh, so we know that the light appeared. Thus, there are some strong possibilities that surface about the star. How about if the star was a conjunction of stars? A conjunction is like a line of several stars that would make it look like one really bright one. This occurs quite frequently. The last one occurred on October 4th, 1953, when Venus lined up with Mars in conjunction, though so it appeared like it was a new star in the sky. Planetarium records show that Jupiter and Saturn did align in 7 BC. This is fitting with the time frame of Christ's birth between 7 and 4 BC. See, the guy that set up the calendar, the BC AD calendar, messed it up. Jesus was likely born between 7 and 4 BC. Yeah, like that's confusing enough, all right? Anyhow, how about if the star was a supernova? Most stars shine with unwavering brilliance century after century. The star Sirius appears now exactly as it did to Moses, as it did to the Neanderthal man, as it did to the dinosaurs. But there are some stars called novae, or nova, N-O-V-A-E, or new stars which, were, when born, become 100,000 times brighter. One night it may be invisible to the naked eye. The next night it may dominate the sky. Novae are not uncommon, as many are observed every year. But two or three times in every 1,000 years, a supernova occurs. Its brilliance may increase not by 100,000, but by 1,000 million times. The last time such an event was witnessed, none of you were there, it was year 1604. And historical documents, one occurring in 6 BC. So there again, that aligns with that. That certainly would have drawn the attention of the Magi, the scientists, right? Either one of these two ideas have been potential of being the Bethlehem star until you read this. Until you read this. The star went ahead of them and stood over the place where the child was. So, turns out there's a third possibility. That maybe the star was a comet. The comet Capricornus appeared in guess what year? 5 BC. You may say, but I saw Halley's Comet years ago, and it doesn't look like a star. You may be interested to know that ancient astronomers referred to comets as hairy stars due to their long tails. But what about that, how it says that the star stood over them? Well, the Chinese have an ancient document called the Han Su Chu, which is the official history of the former Han Dynasty from 206 BC to 9 AD. In that document, they actually use the words stood over when referring to comets. To add to the curiosity, the Chinese call comets broom stars because of their long tail. They believe that the sight of the comet is a sign of things to come, that the old order of things was about to be swept away to make room for the new. Just imagine being the Magi, right? And your job is to study the stars in the east. The Hanshu documents is all these three very unusual document or events, the conjunction of the stars in 7 BC, the supernova in 6 BC, and the Capricornus comet in 5 BC, which stood over them for 70 days, these events stirred something in their hearts. Something was calling them. These weren't religious men. They were scientists. Something was happening, and they had to go find out. While we don't know what the star was, it may simply have been a fire in the sky. Regardless of what it was, it got them traveling to see it. You may be thinking, thank you, I didn't come here for an astronomy lesson. What's the point of all this? I don't believe our perfect understanding of what the star was is as important as what it was saying about God. Determining what the star is not as important as what it's saying about God. The star in the Christmas story tells us this: God speaks in a language we can understand. This is who our God of all the cosmos is. He was speaking to the Magi in a language they could understand. God knew the star would awaken their hearts and minds. They knew that something was happening, that all the universe was calling out. The stars were signaling the changing of all of history. It was like the Magi were hearing, "Seek ye and you shall find." This is what I love about Christmas. There's depth to it. In fact, it's why we put so much energy into it. Because no matter where you're at and spiritually tonight, we know that there is often an openness to spiritual thoughts during the season. This is a time where we reflect. This is a time when we ponder. You may push back on this, but think of the moments you've had this past year. Moments of awe and wonder. Moments when you felt something bigger was at hand. Maybe it was around a campfire. Maybe it was in a tree stand. Or in a conversation during a rough time when someone gave you hope with their words. Or through the birth of a baby in your circle of friends. You may not have known what it was, but you felt overwhelming peace and love. Have you stopped to ever consider that God was speaking in a language that you can understand? Think about that. I got a great friend who often reminds me that God is in the details of life. We just need eyes to see. Those moments you get goosebumps because something profound hits your heart. Or maybe you had a breakthrough in a project at work. You'd never call it a miracle out loud because people would think you're crazy. But you know deep down something bigger than you just happened. Could it be that God was speaking in a language that you can understand? God will find a way to communicate to you in a way that you can understand. You know why? Because he loves you and he wants to get your attention. He wants to connect with you as you are right here, right now. I hope this is one of those moments that gets your attention. Here we are in a beautiful environment. There time together in a Christmas Eve candlelight service, filled with great song and prayers and family and love. This is a God-filled great moment. I know many of you are tackling, you're on board with me on this. You have a strong openness to spiritual experiences in this kind of a setting, right? But others of us aren't quite sure yet. We need empirical evidence. We still have doubts. We still have questions. Some of us think atmospheres like this are just smoke and mirrors. I get it. That was me for many years. I needed more proof. Don't try to fool me with these overly emotional services. That's why I'm drawn to the wise men in the story. They needed to see with their own eyes where the star was leading them. You know, scholars have debated for years how long this journey was for the Magi. Some have said it may have been as long as 3 years from when the star appeared to when they arrived. The point is, it wasn't a two-hour action movie. It was months, or it was years. They took time to ponder, to question, to inquire, and they put some pieces together about the star. That's why I like that we call them wise men. Why? Because wise people seek. Wise people ponder. Wise people consider the spiritual realm. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east." We don't have a full amount of details about their journey, but we do see here that they were putting some pieces together. They had associated Jesus with the star as they asked their questions on their journey. Then down a few verses, when they found him, something profound happened. These seekers responded to Jesus. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. As Mark shared with you earlier, that's incredible. They saw a baby, and these were scholarly, kingly men falling to the ground and worshiping him. What was it about that baby? Had to be something. Something inside of them clicked. It didn't matter so much about all the questions anymore. Right? It didn't matter about the long journey. It didn't matter about the tension they felt along the way. Because you know they had to be complaining to each other. Like, this better be worth it. This better be worth it. When they saw Jesus, his spirit spoke to their spirits. And they believed. And that's why they worshiped. As God spoke in a way they could understand. They were drawn. They were compelled. They were called. What I love about what God was doing through the star, he wasn't pointing a finger at the wise men or yelling and condemning them. He was inviting them to follow. He wasn't pushing them. He was drawing them. He was getting their attention. Again, speaking their language. Why? Because God loves them. And God loves you. Period. End of sentence. No ifs, ands, or buts. He just does. He wants you. He wants to win your heart to Him. And I think all of us, Christians included, take that for granted sometimes. Take that love for granted. Another way to say it is that God delights in you. He enjoys you. He likes you. It doesn't matter what you've done. He unconditionally loves you. I know that some of you just can't believe that because of how conditional human love is. But it's true. He can't contain His love for you, period. But deep down you may be thinking, I'm not worthy of God's love. Because you know some of the things you've done, that the lies you've told, the true thoughts you think, the secrets you hold, the jealousy you have, the hatred you have for some people, the gossip you've spewed, the posturing for power or greed, the selfishness you feel. It makes you feel unworthy. You know, there's a cliche at Christmas that a lot of people say, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, that's true. It absolutely is true. But it's not entirely accurate. A more accurate truth is, you are the reason for the season. You are the reason for the season. Jesus wouldn't have come to earth if we didn't need a Savior. That's why we have Christmas. God didn't run from us in our sin. He ran toward us. That's called grace. There's a churchy word for you tonight. God speaking our language and pursuing us regardless of our success or failure is amazing grace. When a person works an 8-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, that's a wage. When a person competes and receives a trophy for his performance, that's a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, that's an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can't win a prize, deserves no award, and receives a gift anyway, that's a picture of God's unmerited favor that we call grace. That's what we mean when we talk about the grace of God. When I was a teenager, my mom had a friend who had two boys. The oldest one would pick on me unmercifully. I couldn't stand going over to the house because I knew what was going to happen. The way I looked, the way I dressed, the way I talked, he'd criticize me, mock me. I used to dread going there. One day, his younger brother was witnessing from another room. See, because most of this bullying didn't take place in front of my mom or his mom. It was behind their backs. So I looked over at the room, and the little boy is doing the come here sign to me. He said, I'm sorry my brother treats you that way. He's just angry all the time. And then the little brother gave me a hug. He didn't have to, but he knew I needed that. He knew, and I don't know if he knows how much I felt appreciated and made me feel heard for an unexpected kindness extended my way. This is a small picture of what Christmas is about. When we feel unworthy or lost or anxious about life, God pulls us in. In other words, Christmas is God's hug. God's pursuit of us. He wants to get our attention. That's why another part of the Christmas story says that the coming of Jesus is good news of great joy for how many people? All people. That word all includes you. This year ahead, God is going to speak your language many, many times. It's my prayer that you will have eyes to see. It may be on the beach, not now, but maybe in the summer. You feel fully alive when your feet are in the warm sand, or maybe you're going south to do that. I don't know. Maybe you're reading a good book by the fire. You find peace there. Now, can you do me a favor in those moments, when you get those moments? Say a prayer of thanks and listen to the tiny, small voice of God calling your name. I know a lot of you maybe can't wait for 2024 to be done. This year's been one setback after another for you. And you just feel broken. You may be thinking, where's the good news of great joy for me? If that's you, my heart is heavy with you tonight. Can I simply tell you with the deepest empathy, everything we have said also applies to you. Famous author C.S. Lewis said years ago, God whispers in your pleasure, but shouts in your pain. That draws me toward people in places like church and counselors and friends to help my heart heal. I know that the healing process is always layered and happens in stages, but my prayer is that tonight God speaks in a way that gives your heart hope that you are on the path of healing. And to speak frankly, I think people have a misunderstanding about the purpose of the church. The church is not the gatekeeper of heaven, okay? Don't give me that responsibility. We are simply friends on the journey of faith, helping you to find the true Christmas star, being Jesus. If we can help you in your faith journey, we are honored to do that. In the midst of all the distractions in our lives, God has not been silent. The story of the Bible is, from one perspective, a long collection of God knocking at the door of our hearts and proclaims, I'm the God of who made the earth, I have something to say. He does this directly in his own voice, through prophets and angels and through written words. God doesn't want our attention because he is needy, desperate, or selfish. He asks for our attention because he is the highest God in all the universe. Only he can satisfy our needy, desperate, and selfish souls. Taste and see that Jesus is good. Taste and see that Jesus is necessary. God wants your attention, wants your affection, wants your devotion for your good and for his glory. When God gets your intention in life, you are changed for the better. I promise you that. It's quite a closing metaphor. My prayer is that you leave here tonight changed in a good way. And after we pray, we're going to go through a symbolic way to express the spreading of that light, the speaking to you through candlelight. But before we do, let's pray. Go to the Lord right now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. We pray for peace in our lives. We pray for peace in this world. We thank you for the love you've given us. We thank you for the joy that comes with this season. But Lord, we also acknowledge that some people may be hurting. Help us be the voices that help and not hurt. Help us be the hands and arms that hug. Lord, give us the strength to pay attention to what you're saying to us. To each and every person here, I know you love them and you'll be speaking to them. Thank you for this night. Thank you for your son's life. In Jesus' name, amen.